What does the transition in Saudi Arabia mean? Today, the former Crown Prince Salman assumed the throne after his brother Abdullah died this morning at the age of 90. The new king confronts complicated geopolitics. For instance, he sides with Israel, no friend, against the U.S. talks with Iran. Yoksi Drazen is the managing editor at Foreign Policy magazine. Yoksi, King Abdullah was a fierce adherent to the conservative Wahhabi faith, Saudi women can't drive, but he was also seen as something of a reformer. What is his legacy?
I think his legacy will be an attempt to bring Saudi Arabia out of what had been really kind of a hidebound, fossilized past into a very deeply uncertain future. You know, he took power at a time when oil prices were high, the region was relatively stable, so much so that back in 2002 he could float a fairly ambitious peace plan with Israel and the Arab world. Obviously now the notion of any peace plan with Israel and the Arab world seems incomprehensible. There was no Islamic State when he took over. The U.S. hadn't invaded Iraq. Much of the issues with Iran were not the way they are now. And he tried to modernize his country as best he could domestically and then to navigate these internationally. He invested in renewable energy, in nuclear power, in building universities, in sending Saudis to the U.S. and other countries to study. He tried here and there to give women more of a role, although that he didn't make as much progress on. Yeah. And then abroad, he's been trying to navigate this extraordinarily difficult position where, on the one hand, Saudi Arabia is in this shadow war with Iran for influence in Yemen, elsewhere in the region. They're terrified of the Iranian nuclear program, and they don't trust this White House.
Yeah.
So he's had to navigate a lot.
Well, and as you mentioned, the Sunni Saudi Arabia has been jockeying with the Shiite-led Iran for power in the region. Saudi Arabia is also the largest exporter of oil in the world. And as we've been reading, has actually been having financial problems because of the fall of the price of oil, something unthought of years ago. Tell us about the role of oil.
Saudi Arabia has for decades had basically an unspoken promise to its people. We will give you tremendous amounts of money. And thus, in response, you let us rule the country as basically an absolute monarchy.
Free health care, free everything.
Free health care, free education. If you're good enough to get into a Western university, they'll pay for it. Just name the thing that someone in the U.S. would find a wonderful thing to get, and Saudi Arabians get it. That was possible when oil and gas were at $100 a barrel, $90 a barrel, $80 a barrel. They're now at 46, and there are many analysts who see it going down to 40, possibly 30. And that demolishes the economy of a country like Saudi Arabia. You know, this year, they will have a budget deficit for the first time in recorded, remembered history. And that, again, would have been unthinkable when he took power officially about a decade ago.
Well, but here's what's interesting. Saudi Arabia could have cut the flow of oil from the country to drive up the price, but they didn't. So explain the politics there.
So the politics within OPEC, and Saudi Arabia is one of the most powerful players there, they're very tricky. What's happening now in some ways is Saudi Arabia wants the prices to fall a bit because they're looking at the United States. And to them, their threat is the U.S. is, courtesy of fracking, producing, refining, exporting more gas than any country in the world. And they see that part of our economy as a major threat to them. They figure if energy prices fall low enough, U.S. companies won't be able to afford to continue this kind of production work. In a weird way, they're taking a hit themselves to try to give a bigger hit to us.
Well, and to other oil-producing countries like Iran.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so what are some of the things that you will be watching for as this new king assumes the throne? There's also talk of the failure of the Arab Spring, the other big U.S. ally in the region. Yemen, its president just stepped down. Saudi Arabia held off an Arab Spring in its own country. You've got ISIS in Syria. What else will you be watching?
One thing that will be worth watching very closely is the new king, Salman. What will his relationship be with President Obama? Will he trust President Obama? Will President Obama trust him? Ties between the U.S. and the Saudis have fallen and deteriorated very sharply since Obama took office, primarily because of Iran. So watching that personal relationship is going to be, I think, the key question because it impacts what can the Saudis do in Yemen? What can they do in Egypt? What can they do in Iraq? And where does the U.S. try to either help them or stymie what it is that they see as in their core national interests?
And Yoksi, this is change in Saudi Arabia, but in a way, it's not. King Abdullah had been suffering for at least 5 years. So this is probably not going to be a huge shift in Saudi Arabian thinking with the new king.
No, and in some ways, the interesting question is, what does it mean internally for the royal family? You know, Abdullah officially took power in 2006, but had been running the country since his brother had a stroke. The new king is at the spry young age of 79. He is also rumored to have serious health problems, possibly including dementia. So the question is, he may die in a year, 2 years, and we go through all of this again. In the meantime, you have a younger generation of Saudi royals, some of whom are educated in the West, who have been waiting for years and years and years for a chance to help rule the country. They haven't had that chance, and they may get it in a few years during a time of tremendous chaos.
Yeah. Teochi Drazen, Managing Editor at Foreign Policy, thank you as always.
Thank you.